I am Pierre Lumumba here in the Central Business District of Nairobi, in Nairobi County, in the Republic of Kenya, and of course in the continent of Africa. Today we focus on a subject that is significant, the decolonization of the press in the continent of Africa. We will remember, courtesy of history, that the very first newspaper that appeared in the continent of Africa was in 1773 in Mauritius. And when that happened, most of Africa had not been partitioned. The partition was to take place a little later in 1884 and 1885, when the countries were divided into the 54, some now say 55 odd countries that we have in the continent of Africa. And each country, of course, was colonized in the manner that we know, by the British, by the Germans, by the French, by the Italians, by the Spaniards, by the Portuguese, and of course by the Belgians, with the Arabs being present in the northern part of the continent of Africa, always remembering that Ethiopia was not colonized, always remembering that Liberia had been established a little earlier, and that for that reason, the press was informed by whoever colonized the country. In many countries in the early days, it must also be remembered that the religious organizations were very involved in the process of disseminating of news. And this news in those early days was through the newspapers, which, depending on who colonized who, either were emanating from Lisbon, from Madrid, from London, from Paris, or from Brussels. And the agenda at that time was to support the colonial enterprise, so that what we call the independent press was totally unknown to the continent of Africa and to individual African countries. In Kenya, just to give an example, what is called the Standard was established in the year 1902, and it was not informed by the realities of the country as it were and as it is now. But even when countries started regaining independence, it is instructive that the truth was that the colonial agenda still remained alive, and the whole idea of having the press was to disseminate propaganda, so that propagandization became the real agenda of what we call the press. But the press must be understood at different levels. We had the newsprint or the print media, and of course we had the radio and subsequently the television. Today, therefore, when we talk about independent African countries, the question that we ought to wrap our minds around is whether the African press is truly independent. And if it is independent, is it decolonized? And let us break down what we call decolonization. There are two types of colonization. The classical colonization, whose raison d'etre was to control the colonized states from the center. And there is the neocolonial project, which is the continuation of the agenda of the colonialists even when they have left. And this, it must be said, has remained so. It has remained so in many ways for a number of reasons. Number one, the sources of news. Number two, the mode of training of those who are journalists. Many journalists in the continent of Africa are trained in their former colonies. There may have been recent attempts at changing the manner in which training was undertaken, but training is still very colonial. What constitutes news is still defined largely by what the colonialists think news is. And what news is sometimes is also depending on what the colonizer thinks news is. So that if you are in a British former colony, when talking about news, it is from the prism of the British. And by parity of reasoning, the French and the Belgians, and it goes on in that way. And if you look at the major sources of news, barring local news, you'll find that the major sources of news will be Associated Press, Agence France-Presse, and of course you'll have Xinhua now, so that all the major news items are actually packaged and disseminated by news agencies which have their own jaundiced view of what constitutes news. If you look at any newspaper in the continent of Africa, beyond the few pages that deal with local news, all international news, whether you are reading a newspaper in Lusaka, Zambia, Nairobi, Kenya, Haverone in Botswana, Lagos in Nigeria, Dakar in Senegal, it will have been packaged in that way. And if you look at the images that are utilized, the images will invariably be by Bloomberg. And Bloomberg will be an American agency. If you look at the news relating to finances, it will be packaged by Bloomberg. And in that sense, therefore, one can say is that the press in Africa is still laboring under colonization. It is true that over the years, there has been an attempt to liberate the media. And you go to many countries, particularly in Kenya, where the press is reasonably vibrant, Tanzania, Uganda, Nigeria, and Ghana. Many of the newspapers, if you are talking about the print media, is now owned in many cases by local businessmen and local politicians. And if you look at the electronic media, you'll find that the radio stations and the television stations may be owned by local entrepreneurs and with political influence. But if you look at the content, which is what the news is all about, the content is still primarily choreographed from outside. The net effect, therefore, is that when we talk about decolonization of the press, it is an agenda that is alive. One will remember, of course, that in the 1980s and the 1990s, the FM radio stations started operating in most of Africa. And to that extent, it may very well be argued that in terms of local news, and you find this in Kenya with what I call local radios and local news, those may be free from the colonial agenda, but the news that moves and shakes Africa, the news that indeed is critical to the economy and politics of Africa, is still largely dominated and largely colonial. And even if you look at the dominance of the media in the continent of Africa, you'll find the major players are still media from outside. Your typical African middle class will be listening to CNN, will be listening to BBC, will be listening to Radio France, will be listening to the Al Jazeera, will be listening to Al Arabiya. And all these is because it is the situation that the media still remain largely under colonial tutelage. And it is not colonial tutelage in the sense that they are present. They are present in a very subtle way. And it is also because of a number of reasons. The capacity of African media to marshal resources to enable them to gather news. If you look at your typical African newspaper, or your typical African radio station, or your typical African television station, it is quite clear that they do not have the capacity, the financial muscle, to gather news, whether that news be of a political kind, whether it is of an economic kind, whether it is of a scientific kind. And this is why the press still remains largely colonial. In the recent past, we have seen what may be characterized as the liberalization of the media, courtesy of alternative media. This is the internet and all these other media, Google and all these latter-day media. In that way, one may say that the media is liberalized, but is it decolonized? In fact, I dare say that with the advent of these new media, with the advent of technology, the continued colonization of the media has grown several times over, and it has grown several times over today because of the capacity of external players to package news and to disseminate that news unmediated and in a manner that is very impactful. And if one were to doubt that kind of agenda and to doubt the prism from which we are examining the issue, one need look at the recent past. Whenever there is a crisis in African countries, the first thing they do is to shut down the internet. The first thing they do is to ensure that all these media are closed, essentially because they are capable of injecting news into the local scene without it being adapted to the local scene. In a nutshell, I am suggesting that the African press has not been decolonized. It may be argued that they are local players. It may be argued that we now have what we call local radio stations. It may be argued that the print media is owned by local entrepreneurs and many times local politicians. It may be argued that we now have national television, but the reality is that if you look at the news, it is all packaged from outside. Whether it is sports news, whether it's science, whether it's agriculture, whether it's in the economy, all these are still largely colonial. So a deliberate effort must be made to decolonize the media. We have seen this decolonization in different parts of the world, but Africa still remains, and many countries, depending on who colonized them, still look at those media from their former colonizers as the holders and wielders of the truth in terms of what is to be generated. The other thing that is critical in terms of liberation is to ensure that training is attuned to the circumstances. And this also calls into question language. We are still dominated by the languages of the colonizers, and one looks to the day when languages such as Kiswahili as an African lingua franca will be used a lot more effectively as medias of exchange and dissemination in different parts of the continent of Africa. I believe that this is something that is urgent, this is something that is doable, and it is something that is necessary if Africa is to be liberated. The former president of Sierra Leone, Joseph Momo, once said that the journalist with a pen in his hand is more powerful than a soldier with a Kalashnikov. And if that is indeed true, it is important that the African press is decolonized. Decolonization at all levels is critical, including the press. In the spirit of decolonizing the press, let me introduce my crew. We are on RT, but this is the crew that are doing the prime moving as we move towards decolonizing the press. Thank you very much, gentlemen.